Hello and welcome to November's Library Chat, the monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I am Sarah Williford, Library Director. Here with me for today's episode are some familiar voices if you listen to our library podcasts. We have Denise Bean, our Youth Services Librarian.
Hi.
Leslie Heinzler, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
And Tyler Sweat, our Accessible Media Specialist.
Hello.
So last month, we celebrated our one-year anniversary of Library Chat in a fun way by inviting all of our library staff to join us by interviewing each one and asking them a few questions about books and reading. And it was so much fun that we decided to keep it going throughout the year. So in our interviews in the October Library Chat with our colleagues, we only got to ask a few questions with quick responses from them. So we are now going to invite different staff members to join us each week and let them pick the topic for Library Chat. So
each month.
What did I say? Can't be a weekly podcast.
We certainly do a weekly podcast.
Sarah didn't know about that.
Each month.
It would be Sarah and a special guest.
Sarah and a special friend.
Yeah. I think people will be like, no.
She does like this stuff.
I'm just going to hang out and chat. Okay, so each month we'll invite different staff members to join us and let them pick the topic for Library Chat. So we'll discuss the topic, books, and a podcast, or two or three, as we've always done. But with the special guests, we can spotlight and also put them in the hot seat. So just kidding, as I look at our special guests for this month. So our special guest today for our November Library Chat is our library team member, who gets to kick off this new Library Chat episode, and it is Tim West. So welcome, Yay. Tim.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So we'll start with, what do you do at the library?
A digital recording specialist, which means I record audiobooks. I'm responsible for the studio, the equipment, the narrators, making sure that they're trained, and providing high-quality audiobooks for people to be able to listen to.
And?
I also do some computer programming and database administration, and so I help with the CERC system statistics and things like that.
So you get to listen to a lot of books as they're recorded or as you edit them. But also, I will say, and I don't know if you knew how in-depth you would get to learn about our collection as you do our data piece, but you know our collection quite well now.
Well, at least the ones that we've recorded locally, for sure.
So can you tell us about kind of either one of your favorite titles you've gotten to edit or produce?
Well, there's a number of books that have been very, very fun. Of course, I mentioned some of these in the previous podcast, but maybe I'll touch just for a minute on some of the ones that are funny, because that's an experience that most people wouldn't see or, you know, get to hear, because all of the funniness is taken out by the time the product is completed, so...
Yes, I should say, full disclosure, Tim also edits the podcast, our podcast, so he makes us sound good. He does Library Chat, Library News, and Braille Bits podcast, so he's been kind of on this journey with us from the beginning, so huge thank you for that.
Oh, sure, it's a lot of fun doing it.
But yes, please share the funnies.
Well,
I think I know a couple of these.
I do too.
Yeah, the bloopers. One of my favorite was narrator. Do I mention names?
Sure.
Pat Selberg.
Why not?
Pat Selberg Smith. Her and I would chat before the before we'd actually do the recording, and I really just enjoyed her, you know, as a person, as a friend, or whatever. And you know, we'd get in, start reading some of these books, and this particular one was, I call it a syrupy Christian romance, and it just had some funny things in it, and she literally about fell out of her chair laughing one day. And she laughed so hard, I mean, both of us were practically in tears. And it went on for like 2 minutes. I actually have a blooper reel of it, because I keep those kind of things.
And then he moved his mouth from mine, brought his lips to my ear, and whispered against them, "Do you feel a flutter?" What? I tried, but I... Oh, my God, how am I going to do this seriously? Where is that flutter? Oh, my God.
Anyway, that makes the recordings a lot of fun. I had a Drake student in here one time that every time he would make a mistake, he'd be like,
ah.
And, you know, sometimes he would say some words that are not repeatable here.
And, not safe for work.
Yes.
He knew in an instant what he... he knew in an instant he... The mayor was a crook. "Man, you sure live in a dump," were the first words out of his mouth. How could he go back where he came from when he... especially magenta locks, the giggliest of the... Oh, correction, path. Can I do that again? Even a beast as primitive as... Oh, can you give me that one more time?
So a lot of times what I would do with these narrators, just to be fun or whatever, but I'd actually save some of these outtakes, especially when they make noises. There was another gal that would say, "Oops, sorry, oops, sorry, oops, sorry."
Is that like my sorry, Tim?
Sorry, Tim.
Sorry, Tim.
I had a blooper of literally like 200 oops, sorries that I sent her one day.
Oops, sorry, sorry. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Patty and I have to stoop over, when we... Oh, shoot, that was right. Oh, sorry. Ah, close. Oh, shoot. Ah, oops, sorry, I added a word. Patty brought up her kitten, sorry. End of the book, sorry.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. There's some behind-the-scenes comedy that goes on.
So, what topic have you chosen for us to explore and discuss today?
Well, people that know me well know that my passion is music. And so I'm very interested in learning musical things, and I was kind of challenged to come across some, you know, podcasts and books and what have you, and have enjoyed exploring some of these books and things. So,
and for our listeners, that's part of the deal. When you're chosen to be our special guest, you have to pick the topic as well as find a podcast. So now we sound a little lazy.
And hot seat, right?
Be in the hot seat.
That's true. Good.
You got to earn the spot here.
Yeah.
You got to earn it.
So you kind of talked a little bit, but what role does music play in your life?
Well, I actually started playing music from second grade. Started playing out professionally when I was 15 years old, and really I've never stopped playing music. I mean, there's been some seasons where I sort of take a little bit of a break, but my wife and I have been making music together for over 30 years. I mean, like, actually playing music. she's a songwriter, and since... I've always had the technical bent and have enjoyed studio part of it. So for many, many years, I've actually owned a recording studio, and I've recorded actually over 75 local bands and recorded 5 or 6 different albums with my wife. You know, we've played in bands that have been fairly well known here in the city. So, yeah, I use the music as part of what I do in my job. Things like being able to write the intro music for Library Chat or Library News or Braille Bits. And like when we were doing Braille Bits, we actually had somebody typing on the Braille machine, the Perkins Brailler, and so you can hear that in the little musical piece. Then we did a video for our volunteers that was a lot of fun that I was able to actually write the music for, and my wife sang the lead part, and then everybody got to sing the chorus part.
And Tim rapped.
I did. Oh, yeah. I did do a rap, right. Which is not something I normally do.
So, Tim sent me a few books, but we do have some great books in our collection, and the National Library Service for the Blind and Print-Disabled also has an amazing collection and resources that we want to talk about today a little bit. So, Tim, you shared 2 titles that you're currently listening to. Do you want to talk about those?
Sure. The first book that I started listening to is called Your Song Changed My Life. It includes people like Jimmy Page, Smokey Robinson. I think there's 35 artists, and talks about the music that inspired them. Actually curated by the NPR's host of All Things Considered, the musicians discuss the songs that influenced them. I started listening to this, and it's very, very interesting because you get some inside information about, you know, people that made a difference in and changed their lives and how they considered things that, you know, they considered when they were writing their music and that kind of thing. So I'm only partway through the book. It's by Bob Boylan, DB85362, in case anybody wants to actually look it up. It does have some strong language in it, but that's kind of the rock and roll scene, so... But very, very interesting so far. And then something that I've been reading, I started reading as well, that's similar to it. It's called Off the Record. It's an oral history of popular music. This particular author, Joe Smith, interviewed 200 singers, composers, arrangers, producers, that kind of thing, on the count of popular music, you know, from light rock, jazz, folk, country, western, rhythm and blues, heavy metal, from the 50s all the way through the late 80s. There's a lot of interesting things that I've heard, including, well, one of the last things I was reading about was the Beatles and how they had some issues when they were in the studio. And I guess I knew that there was some rift between Paul McCartney and John Lennon, but I didn't know how bad it was. And that, you know, things like that affect the group's performance and writing music and that kind of thing. And so, anyways, it's a very interesting read if you're into, you know, knowing a little bit about the music that you grew up on. And I'm an old guy, so I like the music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, admittedly. So that's when it was.
I'm really younger, too, and I like that same song, Tim, so I'm younger than you, so that's
okay, okay. The book off the record is DB31730.
And I'll list these all on the blog post that goes along with the podcast as well. So everything we talk about today, I'll have listed there.
Great.
So I'll see if anybody else, I don't want to zip over anybody, if anybody has any books.
Actually, I absolutely love the nonfiction books. And I don't know, the Aerosmith Walk This Way. And that is a great book. It talks about just that whole history piece, and I don't know if you guys even read the title, you automatically have that song playing in your head.
Yeah.
And then also another, Man in Black, Johnny Cash. I probably could just say Man in Black. And it's kind of neat because the author of the book is also Johnny Cash, so who better to talk about their own life than that person? But it just talks about his transition through life and all of the different successes and his marriage.
Why did he have some transitions?
He had a lot of transitions and challenges and just kind of how he overcame them. And it was, you know, so just a nonfiction book, a great story. I don't have a DB number. You're very efficient, Tim. But yeah, it's a great story. And of course, listening to Johnny Cash in the car is always a hit. Favorite.
I used to be in a sound turn company, and we did sound for people. And I was actually supposed to run sound for Johnny Cash on his last tour. And he got sick and went to the hospital, and later he died, so I missed that opportunity.
Wow.
They put his brother in his place, wow. Tommy Cash. But it was fun and interesting, and Tommy actually sounds just like Johnny. He even sang some of his songs.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm.
That was a fun experience.
Yeah, for sure. I bet.
Well, we don't want to miss the opportunity to talk about the National Library Service's music collection. So, just really quick, a little bit about it. The NLS music collection was authorized by Congress in 1962, so it includes Braille and large print musical scores, recorded instructional materials, and recorded materials about music and musicians. And any person eligible for NLS services, so our library patrons. So if you're a library patron, these are all for you. And you can find these on our website as well as the NLS's website. And again, I'll put a link to it. But what I wanted to talk about a little bit is you can also get these music books, can be accessed through Bard. And NLS also has some fabulous publications. They have one called Facts. It's music scores and books guide. They also have books, guides, catalogs, magazines, and information about the music Braille code as well. And then they also have the NLS Music Notes blog. So definitely a huge resource, especially for alternative formats and accessible media. So I'll include these again on our blog post. Anything else about NLS? So they've been, since 1962, they've been growing this collection. Tim, you have to love seeing your love of music and all of the resources available coming through our library.
That's awesome, yeah.
That moves us into our podcast. So another one of the great perks of being a guest on our podcast is you also get to pick the podcast that we reviewed. And do you want to talk about the podcast, or you want me to do my little summary?
Well, you can do a summary if you want.
Okay. So what the podcast that Tim sent us was Song Exploder, and it's a podcast where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. Each episode features an artist discussing a song of theirs, breaking down the sounds and ideas that went into writing and recording. And the episode you chose was...
It was episode 150, Fleetwood Mac, and the song was Go Your Own Way.
And I have had that in my head.
Me too.
All day long. I listened to it this morning, first thing. And it's a great song.
It is a great song.
I'm finding lots of ways to apply it to what I've been working on.
Yeah. I can't see what would be.
Yeah.
But
now, my connection with Stevie Nicks might be different than you guys.
I love Stevie Nicks.
Because I have it, like, on in the background of, like, my dad working in the garage or, like, in the car. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, having a connection of being, you know, like, a little different age when those songs were on. So,
yeah.
But it's always a band that I liked. And it's always, I think the way that podcast is laid out is perfect. Because it really breaks down the song.
I do, too.
And just tells the story behind it, which is just, it's fun.
And I will admit there were some things discussed that I did not know what they were talking about.
What part?
I think about like the guitar and the drums. There's that whole part where they were talking about
the eighth note.
He pointed out that bass part originally the John was playing a little bit more of like a country-ish riff, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. And Lindsay said, no, what I want you to do is basically duplicate what the guitar is already doing, which is the eighth note, do, 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 do. You know, when you're working in the studio and you're working with musicians, sometimes you should try to do things different than what's always been done, because that's what makes it interesting. Just because you're not supposed to do that doesn't necessarily mean it won't turn out well.
Yeah. I also like the part where we called into the radio show. Like, yeah. that's just like that time where, like, you hear your song on the radio and you call the guy and ask him why he hates your song. But once he brought up the point about, like, he couldn't find the beat and then they played the song, I get, on that first part, though, with the drums, like, I get where he was probably coming from, because it was a different sort of beat than what.
Right.
But once it gets into the song, it balances out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, and he talks about, interesting, like, how he, when he's playing the acoustic guitar, how he does the counterpart, you know, to try to balance out some of those weird things. And he talked about the idiosyncrasy of the drummer. It's like, you can tell him what to do, but he's still going to just play what he feels. And that's kind of common, really, with most musicians. They're just going to tend to gravitate towards whatever it is that they, you know, feel. So, yeah, that makes it very interesting, I think.
And speaking of feel, even how their relationship as singers together, how it affected the music and the different parts of the music, and how they had to make it, he had to make his voice sound, what was, there was a word that he used to describe, like, kind of not angry, but there's a description describing how his voice sounded when he sang.
Yeah.
But that relationship played into their music. You could just feel the vibe of it when they were,
Yeah, he was a little bit more gruff or whatever than...
Scratch, there's a name for it.
I don't remember the word that he used, but that, you know, and that kind of makes sense, because he's trying to portray the problems or the struggle, you know, that they were having. And they, you know, when they first started out, he was, they were boyfriend, girlfriend, and they were doing fairly well. They were writing music together and all that kind of stuff. And when he joined Fleetwood, when they asked him to join Fleetwood Mac, he said, well, yes, if my girlfriend Stevie can come with me. And so she wasn't originally, you know, invited to be in the group until he made that comment or whatever. And so.
But that's like one of those moments in rock and roll history that's like, that's without her in that band, I don't think it would have been whatever it would have been what
it
was.
Right.
So it's just funny, like those weird little things that happen that make the difference in the end. Dragging your girlfriend along to join the band with you. And then,
just
steals
the
show,
kind
of. See, what questions did I have for you? I had, so you said this is one of your favorite episodes. I think you kind of explained, but I had, tell us why.
Why?
Why?
Well, partly because of the music. Very familiar with Fleetwood Mac, and, you know, when you learn about musicians and kind of their backstory, it does help understand why, I don't know, why the albums, what happens, how they go their own way, so to speak. So that was one of the things. And then I kind of rediscovered Fleetwood Mac. We played some of the songs in our band, and the bass player, the bass part, when I would listen to the music, I always thought he was kind of like, you know, it's just boring or whatever. But his part was always very solid and very interesting. And I think, you know, it was really harder than what it seemed when you actually started playing it. It wasn't necessarily technically difficult, but it really makes the songs. And so, I don't know, that as soon as I saw that, it was like, I would like to learn a little bit about what, you know, Fleetwood Mac. I did go back in and listen to some of the other ones. And, for instance, Cheap Trick was in there. And they played Surrender, which is a song we used to play as well. I didn't know that they were from Rockford, Illinois. They're our neighbors. And the guitar player was going into detail about the song, which evidently ended up being in, like, a number of different movies, like soundtracks and what have you, and...
I gotta look up that. I'm sure I know it.
Yeah.
Should have listened to it again.
So, there was one that was talked about, Katie Tunstall, and she She was, you know, kind of a, well, she became very big. And all of a sudden, the name of her song kind of slips me that Suddenly I See. But anyway... She wrote that before she was a name and had demoed it in her studio, and they played the demo, and it's like, wow. I mean, it was pretty close to being the same kind of song and sound that ended up being really, really popular. And the guy that Osborne was their producer, and one of the things he said was when he listened to her, he really liked her, what she was doing with the rhythm guitar parts. And so it's one of these times when they went in the studio, he told the drummer, listen to what she's doing and play that. You know, kind of like what Lindsay did with the bass player, I guess. But anyway, the drum part was a little bit, you know, unusual. It wasn't just the typical kick on one, snare on two or whatever. And so anyway, it's interesting going in and listening to these details and hearing how, you know, how they ended up becoming the song that they were.
Well, any final thoughts? Final questions for Tim?
So I like how they played the song at the end of the podcast.
I do, yeah, too.
It's like you're obsessed with the song and you dive into it. Yeah. And then it's these little clips, and then they're like, oh, good, they're going to play the... All right, good. Because I was going to get on my phone and play it. Like, that's really the point I was at, too.
See,
like,
and maybe that's where I felt. Because my daughter swears if you listen to the entire song to the end, it won't be stuck in your head.
Is that right?
I must have cut it off early then or something.
I did. So I'll have to listen to the whole thing.
I don't think I did.
Another one, Secondhand Deuce. Is that... That's a good song, too. She's done.
It's more really in Fleetwood Mac, but still?
No, KT.
Oh, KT, okay. Mm-hmm. I only know the hits.
So 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s, what is your favorite?
Well, I can't say that I like the 90s real well.
No, why not?
You don't look like a 90s guy.
No, no.
Actually,
Ace of Base.
Is that bubblegum music? Is that
Vanilla
what they
Ice?
Call that? Bubblegum music. Actually, I like that. It's got a good beat.
Yeah. I like rock music that makes you feel like you want to dance, and also makes you feel happy.
Yeah.
So, and to me, a lot of songs in the 90s was more about being angry, upset, and...
Well, you think of, like, Nirvana, Seattle grunge that came out, yeah, it was
the
all...
grunge.
So that doesn't particularly thrill me.
I get you.
Yeah. But again, I'm kind of old, so...
No, you're not.
Kids in your rock music, rock and roll, right?
My rocking chair.
Yeah, you're...
rocking chair. You are a grandpa now.
Yeah. True.
Okay, last thoughts on music? Okay. Well, thanks everyone for joining us today for our November Library Chat episode. If you missed any of our earlier episodes, the podcast along with book lists will be available on our library blog at iowalibrary.blog. You can also find episodes from other library podcasts, including Library News and Braille Bits, on the library blog as well. So, we will thank Tim for joining us, who now has the privilege of editing this and making it ready for prime time. So, but thank you for joining us and sharing with us around your topic of music, and also sharing with us your talents to make us sound good as well. So thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
So thanks for listening, and we will chat with you next month.
See ya.
Bye.